not the regular shiur. It's more of a tefillah. And I'm going to try to be very brief. I think I might even be able to finish before this one. I usually go over. I'll try to be brief. This tekufa, this time that we're in right now, between Lag BaOmer and Shavuos, there are two remarkable iris lights that are entering into our lives. Besides on Shavuos, as I said, Moshe Nadar Malach and Baal Shem Tov, there are two iris during this period in between Lag BaOmer and Shavuos. Not everybody knows that Chaf Ches Iyar, this coming Monday, is the yahrzeit of Shmuel HaNavi. And there is a custom from the Kadmarim that goes way back, that by Nevi Samuel, by the care of Shmuel HaNavi, there was a hilula for many, many, many years to this day. Me'ein, what takes place in Meiram and Lag BaOmer, when many Jews would come, fires, maduras were lit, dancing, singing, l'kavod Shmuel HaNavi. We all know Shmuel HaNavi is referred to by Chazal as Rosh LeNeviim, like the father of Neviim. He was the one that brought Nevuah back to Am Yisrael. It says in Avi, "Udvar Hashem haya yakar b'yom mahem." It was very, very rare. It was very hard to find the Dvar Hashem in those years, from the time of the Shoftim when things began to unravel. Until Shmuel Navi, we didn't hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevuah was, prophecy was, had disappeared just about, almost completely disappeared from our midst, almost. Ein chazon nifratz. Even though there were some individuals that still were connected, but certainly prophecy was not in the open, and we didn't have Nevi'im that were bringing down to us the Dvar Hashem. Shmuel Navi was the one who brought back Nevuah to the Jewish people, brought back prophecy to the Jewish people. The highest connection, the deepest, most intense connection that a Jew can have with Hashem, of course, is Nevuah's prophecy. And Shmuel Navi brought that back into our lives. Also, you all know that he was the one to instate Malchus in our lives. He was the one that anointed Shaul HaMelech. He was the one that anointed David HaMelech. So Malchus, Nevuah and Malchus, prophecy and kingship and royalty, was brought into Am Yisrael, or brought back into Am Yisrael through Shmuel HaNavi. So it couldn't be a coincidence, since all great things that happen are not only not coincidental, but are extremely significant, that the yahrzeit of Shmuel HaNavi, the Hilula of Shmuel HaNavi, is Chaf Ches Iyar, a few days before Yom Tov, before Shavuos. We'll come back to Shmuel HaNavi in a few minutes. That's the first R. That the light of Shmuel HaNavi, prophecy, Malchus. There's another R during these days, which is that of the Shlach HaKadosh. The Shlach HaKadosh is Rabbi Yishai ben Avraham HaLevi. And I think that all of you know that it's not his yahrzeit now, but all of you know that there's an old minhag to say a special tefillah that was composed by the Shlach HaKadosh, Erev Shavuos, Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That there's a Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan next week. There's a special tefillah that was composed by the Shlach HaKadosh that's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah and many other Sforim, which I'll quote in a second. There's definitely a very deep connection, the Sforim tell us, between the Shlach HaKadosh. Shlach stands for Shnei Luchos HaBris. It's one of the most important of our Sforim. It's filled with Pnimius HaTorah and Hashkafe, Musa. The Shloka Kodesh were told by the Chidor and others, they bring down that the Shloka Kodesh was the neshama, had the neshama of Rus. He had within him the soul of Rus. And the Chidor says that when you look at Megillas Rus, it's a fascinating thing. All of the psukim of Rus begin with the letter Vav, with the exception of eight psukim. All but eight psukim in Megillas Rus begin with the letter Vav. And the Chidor brings down that those eight psukim that don't start with a Vav, that sort of stand on their own and are highlighted in Megillas Rus, those eight psukim begin with the letters Yeshaya ben Avram Halevi, who is the Shloka Kodesh. Yeshaya, Yud Shin, those letters. Yeshaya ben Avram Halevi, those are the only eight psukim that begin with those letters, Yeshaya ben Avraham Halevi, was the Shloka Kodesh. Now, what is this inyan of the tefillah of the Shloka? So it's brought down in his sefer, Ma'arichus, how a person has to daven every single day, how parents have to daven for their children, those who are zeichet to have children, and those who are not married yet, or who are not married at the present time, or don't have children, whatever it might be, the situation, to daven for family, for other children, and to have children. Especially, the Shloka says, every single day, in the morning when we make the bracha, Birchas HaTorah, the Har of Na'ashem HaKenim, Mysterious, so also, we ask, V'niyah anachnu b'tzetzo'enu, b'tzetzo'et, that may we and our children and our grandchildren, all of our descendants, may we all be, and may our children all be, kolonu yoidei shemecha v'loim dei sarascha l'shma. May they all be Jews who know your name, yoidei shemecha, Jews who are connected and attached deeply to Hashem, and v'loim dei sarascha l'shma, and they learn Torah for the right sake. They learn Torah for Hashem's sake. The Chofetz Chaim brings down a Mishnah Berurah, and Siman Mem Zayin. These are the words of the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Shloka. So the Chofetz Chaim writes, "V'tamid tia tefilas ha'av v'ha'em shkur b'fiyam." That there, the Chofetz Chaim brings from the Shloka that the father and the mother should always have in their mouths these tefilas, "L'spalo al b'neim," to daven for their children, "Sheyu lom dei Torah v'tzadikim uvalamidas Torah," that the children should learn Torah and be tzadikim, have good midas. Yikaven bebirchas ahava rabba, bebirchas atar, and this must be especially what the parents have in mind. They daven it all the time, but especially when they're saying that bracha of birchas atar in the morning, and when they're saying before Shema, when parents are saying before Shema, ahava rabba, or ahava salam, whatever your nusach is, that bracha right before Shema, in the morning and the night. And also, when we say in davening, "Uvolat Zion," at the end of davening, "Leman lo nigal larik, velo neled lebahala," that we're begging Hashem that our lives shouldn't be chalila wasted, that all of the efforts that we put into raising our children, that we should be zeichet that our children should go on the right way. So, especially during these parts of davening, and also whenever one can and wants to, but especially during these times of davening, to daven for the children. I don't remember which tzaddik it was, but there was a great chazirsha rabbi, and somebody asked him, why is it that in Shemoneh Esrei, it's interesting how in Shemoneh Esrei, we don't see any tefillah for children, about the kids, in Shemoneh Esrei. Think about it, right? And all Shemoneh Esrei, it's not tefillah for the children. And all the brachas, of course, were davening for everybody, but there's no tefillah specifically for this, for the well-being of the children. And the tzaddik answered that when you say the words, "Mufanecha malkenu reikam al tishivenu," "Mufanecha," and Shemoneh Esrei, "Mufanecha malkenu reikam al tishivenu," "Kata shmid v'skal," "Mufanecha rabbanishon," please Hashem, our King, that we shouldn't leave this world empty-handed. So he says, the tzaddik said that that's the davening for our children. Ufanacham alkenu reikam al teshivein. Reikam al teshivein. We don't want to return to you without our children, without having raised good Jewish children, without them going in the right way. We don't want that. We're begging Hashem. Ufanacham alkenu reikam al teshivein. Al teshivein. The Shlach Kodesh brings down as well a Mordechai Maisa, a story that's found in the Medrash, in the Talmud of Eliyahu Rabbah. Maisa b'koyin echad. Again, as I said at the beginning, I just want talking very simple, something that we can work on. Because I just wanted to talk about this when I saw a clip of some of the children that were killed. Ma'aseh b'koyin echad. It was a ma'aseh b'koyin echad. There was a story that happened with a certain kohen. Sh'ayari shamayim b'saisa. He went as if he was a very simple person, but he was a big yirei shamayim b'saisa. In a hidden way, he was a very God-fearing person. V'haylo asara banim. And he had 10 sons. B'chol yom v'yom hayim espalol u'mishtateach u'mavakish rachimim. And every day he would daven. He would throw himself on the floor. Mavakish rachim and beg for Hashem's rachim. Malachir b'lashoina ofar. He would lick the dirt. He would have his face on the floor. Kadesh lo yovo echad mehen lidei aveira. That none of his 10 sons, he had 10 sons, those were his children, that none of them should ever, God forbid, do an aveira, lidei aveira, lidei dovar mechu'ar, or anything inappropriate or ugly in their lives. The Amru, and the Shlach brings down, from the Medrash, the Yotza Oisa Shon of Leishni of Leishlishis, that some years went by, at Sheba Ezra, until Ezra the Sofer came, the Helach Hashbaruch is Al Yodo, as he saw me Bavel, and Ezra the Sofer brought, as you know, a whole Chevra that went on Aliyah, from Bavel to Yerushalayim, but also a Kohen Imohen, and that Kohen was among the Jews who returned to Eretz Yisrael to build the second Beis HaMikdash. And this Kohen, who was davening all the time for his children, lived, and he didn't leave the world. Ad shira kahanim gedolim, he had sons that were kahanim gedolim, pirchei kohuna kahanim, in the base of Mikdash, mibonim, neibonim, ad chamishim shana, that he was zeichet to see his children and grandchildren, kahanim and kahanim gedolim, because of these tefillos. So the Shlach brings this story down. And many, many tzaddikim bring the story of this Kohen, this mysterious Kohen down. And the Rebbeinu Spol from this Kohen, very excited about this Jew. We don't know his name. And I remember seeing in one of the Sfar, I don't remember where, that when we look at this story, we see that this Kohen, he didn't daven because he wanted to have nachas from the kids. That's why we always bench each other. You should have nachas from the children. He didn't seem focused on the nachas that he would get, or the cover that he would get by having a family. And he didn't even, in the tefillah that we have, he wasn't even davening that his children should reach the madregas of being big tzaddikim and great talmidei chachamim. We don't see that at all in the tefillah. The ikke that he poured his heart out, the Medrash says, every single day, was protect my children that they shouldn't do any aveiras. They shouldn't slip away. They shouldn't fall away. That's what he davened. We don't see in his tefillah that he was davening for madregas, for big levels. Although that's fine. The Shlach has that as part of his tefillah also, to daven for madregas. To be Talmid Chachamim, to be Balamidis, not the girls, and so on, should marry Talmid Chacham. It's all wonderful. But what we see by this Kohen, and the Medrash is telling us that he was Zeichah for such generations of Kahuna, Kahanim Gedolim, was that he was crying and pouring his heart out that his children shouldn't come the day of Eira. That he shouldn't, Chalila, that he shouldn't get a call one day from a Rebbe that, you know, we found something bad in your, in your kid's briefcase or in his bag, or that you shouldn't, Chalila, take a child's phone at some point and look on the phone and see that there's something that's not good over there. This is what he was davening for. That the children should be good children. They should be good children. And that's what they were in the spoil from. There's a saying from Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nachman said the following. And he writes, he told the chassidim, and he writes, "Sha'atem ta'asu b'haschola, ma'asheim oisim b'sof." Let me translate. You know, the words are simple. Ani rotze, the Rebbe Rabbi Nachman said to the chassidim, "I want sha'atem ta'asu b'haschola. I want you to do in the beginning, ma'asheim oisim b'sof, but other people only do at the end." What does that mean? I want you to do b'haschola at the beginning, what other people do at the end. So what Rabbi Nachman is saying, the way Rav Nosson and his Talmidim understood, is that when do parents really pour their heart out for their kids, when do they really, really doubt, really, really pour their hearts out, if something is wrong. If chas v'shalom, the child is not well, physically, emotionally, if chalila, the child is not doing well, spiritually, and ruchnius, that's called already basof. When something is wrong, they're crying about fixing it. Hashem, please help, please help, please help. My child is like this, my child's going through that. Please help my son, my daughter. My daughter is desperately in need of a shidduch. She's already getting older and she needs a shidduch. So Rabbi Nachman said, Ani rotze sha'atem tasu b'haschala. I don't want you to wait till something's broken. Davening, davening, davening. I don't want you to wait until something is wrong with this, with the child. I don't want you to wait until something is broken. And he rose shatam tasu b'haschol. I want you to live this way. When everything is great, when they're little and you're taking all these nice little pictures you're sending around, and everything is cute and sweet. And I know there are girls that are not yet married here, and there are also some that don't have children yet. Mitzvah Shem, all the girls are going to marry the most wonderful, wonderful tzaddikim at the right time. You know, all of our women are going to bear beautiful and healthy children. If the daven, Rabbi Nachman said, not to wait until something is wrong. Not to wait until something is broken. It's already very hard. You have to already be a balmadrega when something's broken to fix it. But Rabbi Nachman says, I want you to do b'haschola. I want you to live in this way. To daven, to daven, to daven. Mashachem oisim b'sof. Most of the world, they're davening later on to try to bring something back. But I want you to daven at the beginning. Hard to daven at the beginning. So what does all this have to do with Shmuel Novi? So we just said that we have Shmuel Novi's yard site next week, and right afterwards, a day later, it's going to be Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, where we have this minhag, davka then Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, to say the tefillah of the Shlach Kodesh, which if you don't have, it's very easy to get it. Probably it's one button on the thing. You can get the Tefillah of the Shlach in English, in Hebrew, in Farsi, or Russian, whatever you like. The Tefillah of the Shlach Kodesh. What's the connection to Shmuel Navi? So I think it's very obvious. And again, just Dvar Pshuta Ma'od. And how did this wondrous neshama of Shmuel Navi come to the world? So there was a very, very lonely woman by the name of Chana, right? The Himaris Nefesh, and she wanted so desperately to have a child, and it wasn't going. And Elkanah's other wife, Pnina, was pumping them out one after the other. And Chana wanted so badly to have a child, and the Himaris Nefesh, and she went to the Mishkan in Shiloh, right? You all know the story. Vatispalol al Hashem. Chazal make a big deal of why it says al Hashem. She wasn't going to walk away empty-handed. It doesn't say vatispalol el Hashem. That's very good derech eretz, you know. El Hashem. Chana didn't daven el Hashem. She davened al Hashem. Like she bullied him. She did. She mamish. Didn't let go. Vatispalol al Hashem. Al Hashem. Uvocho sivke. She didn't just cry. Uvocho sivke. Like by Eicha, means she didn't stop crying. Uvocha sivke. until she made a neder. Vasida neder, v'taymer, she made a neder. And Hashem tzavokos, a promise, an oath. Hashem tzavokos. Imro, which, you know, this is the model for all of our davening. Imro models our davening after what Chana did that day. Hashem tzavokos, Imro, sira, ba'ani, amasacha. Hashem, can you look and see the misery of your maidservant? Zuchartani. And remember me. Le'tishkach es amasacha, please don't forget me. V'nasata l'amoscha zera anoshim. And I beg you to bring me a child. Unisativ Lashem kol yimei chayev. And I make a promise, an oath. I will give him to you all the days of my life. That's very intense. I will give him to you all the days of my life. All the days of his life. Kol yimei chayev. All the days of his life. And then the Navi goes on and tells us afterwards, Vayhi l'tkufas hayomim. And it happened. She had a child, a son, and she named the boy Shmuel, because I begged Hashem for this child. And according to Chazal, we know that little Shmuel was in danger of his life for whatever reason when he was very, very little. And in her tefillah, in her shira, she says, Elanar hazeh hespalalti. Elanar hazeh hespalalti. In other words, as Chazal tell us and the Svarim tell us that Chana was saying, I davened a lot for this kid. You're not taking him away from me, as we said. Alanar has a hispalalti. Alanar has a hispalalti. Ve'itin li Hashem li ashelasi. You answered my tefillah. I'm not letting him go. Alanar has a hispalalti. And therefore, that little boy, that little baby, Shmuel, was what we call in Yiddish, an oiske beit nekint. There's no good word for that in English. I don't know how to translate. An oiske beit nekint means that he's a davened for child. But it means he's saturated with his mother's tefillos, his father's tefillos. Oiske beit nekint. When you meet a child that was born after parents couldn't have children for some time, I know, Baruch Hashem, such families, quite a few families like this. One of my sons-in-law was born after many, many years when my Mechutam couldn't have children, many years. That's why they gave him a lot of names. And then afterwards they had a whole bunch. That also happens. Once the Pesach is made and the Yeshua comes, it comes, whoa, like that. Ois kebet nekint. Those are Jews that are saturated with mother's davening, filled with tefillah. It's not a regular child. Those children are different. They're different. They're eskebet net kinder. Children that are filled with davening. It's like if they get a cut, tehillim comes out. It's not blood. Tehillim comes out from the cut. So eskebet net Jew. A Jew, it's a different kind of a Jew. But the spalachana al Hashem, lanar hazeh hespalalti. So that's how little Shmuel came into the world. An oiske beit neid, a Jew filled with davening, with the mother's davening. And by the way, here, you know, he didn't come with his father's tefillah, so it wasn't so much with the davening with the father. And we know that because you remember one of the hardest things that really caused Chana to break down and just to tell everybody, leave me alone, and she went to daven on her own, was when Elkanah wanted to tell her a very sweet thing, that you're better to me than 10 children, right, than 10 sons. So she's like, Shkoich, I thought you're davening the whole time also. But you have, Pnina's the one that gives you the kids, and I'm your favorite wife, so you haven't been pouring your heart out. That's the way Rav Soloveitchik explains. She was so disappointed and hurt. She thought all the time that she had a partner in her davening. But what Elkanah said to her was, Tovatli, you're better for me than... you're not for children, it's the two of us. I have another wife for children, but it's the two of us. So at that point, Rav Soloveitchik said, that you see in the Navi, she says, Ay, vey. Shkoyach. I have nobody else in the world. I have only the Baruch Shalom, no one else. Myself and Hashem. And she brought down Shmuel Novi, such an Hashem of Shmuel Novi, Nevuah and Malchus. Davar Melch, really. Everything was brought down from this. Nevuah and Malchus came into the world, was brought back into the world from these tefillos. And we know that Shmuel Hanavi wore a special coat that his mother made for him. And we also know that it was a miracle coat that it grew with him over the years. There's a lot, I spoke about that a few times over the years, how what that means, that coat. That as he was growing, he never had to change it. It always grew together with him. And he wore that his entire life. Every time, wherever he went in life, he was always looking at that coat to remember his mother. And here it's hard for us because Chana kept her promise. She did keep her promise. And little baby Shmuel, little boy, must have been at his cutest age, just when he was like two and a half years old. They say terrible too, but really they're very, very cute at that time. Just at that age, Elkanah, they brought him to the Mishkan to give to Eli HaKohen, right? To be raised by Eli HaKohen in the place of Kedusha and Shiloh. So here the Alshach HaKodesh says something amazing. I saw this in a sefer from a person that I'm zeich to have, a person that I know is a big mashpia in Stalin, Reb Shimon Spitzer. I saw him bring this down, this Alshach HaKodesh. So he was around 2 years old, and Elkanah brings him to Eli, to Shiloh. Seems like Chana couldn't bear to see this. And the child is left with Eli. And you know, in those days, it wasn't like dropping your kids off in Yerushalayim for a couple of weeks, you know, until they come back for Chanukah, or for Pesach, or for Shavuos, or you go for three trips in between. It wasn't like that. That was long term. He was dropped off to be raised over there in the Mishkan of Shiloh by Eli HaKohen. And right when the Navi tells us how Shmuel was brought to Eli HaKohen, suddenly the Navi tells us that Eli himself had two sons. You remember their names? You remember? No? Hophni and Pinchas. And they weren't good guys. Again, Chazal tried to help them and be Mamet Zchus, but what it says in the Navi, which I don't want to say over right now, it's something very, very horrible about how they behaved. And it seems quite clear from the Navi, again, whatever they were, Bali Madrakis and something, whatever it is, but Eli HaKohen and the Rebbetzin didn't have nachas from these boys, from Chafni and Pinchas. And I'm sure that those of you who remember what it says there, things that they were doing were not good things. And the Alshach HaKadosh is wondering, why does the Navi jump straight from this cute little tzaddik Shmuel, the little baby, the little boy, right into the miserable situation of Eli HaKohen's sons, who have not done well? And Ashkenaz points out, you know, who we're talking about, Chafni and Pinchas. These are they had within them the neshama of Aaron HaKohen, the neshama, the soul of Aaron HaKohen, and they were the sons of Eli HaKohen, of the tzaddik of the generation, right? The Kohen Gadol in Mishkan Shiloh, and we have to assume the Ashkenaz doesn't go as far as this, but we have to assume that they were raised b'kedusha b'tahara. They were raised in unbelievable holiness. They lived in the Mishkan Shiloh. And their father was a Gadol Hador. It means they were like in the best yeshiva, Ivy League yeshiva. You can't do better than that. Didn't turn out good. Like Chafni and Pinchas. You know, there are many, many families, the nicest, best people. Best people in the world. I'm always so angry when people try to say there must be something wrong in that family if their kid came out like this, their kid came out like what? It's a big chutzpah. Because Nistar M'dach Hashem, the ways of Hashem are very, very mysterious. And I've seen the nicest, holiest parents and children. It's not that way. There's all kinds of mysterious things that have to do with the Neshamas and Gilgulim. But the Alshach HaKadosh makes the following point. Chafni and Pinchas were living in a place of Kedusha, of holiness, and it didn't bring them around. They went off the derech. On the Emadreg, again, I'm not Chas Shalom, we don't understand, but something was wrong. And this little boy, Shmuel, didn't have his mother and father to raise him. He was raised like a Yosem. He wasn't a Yosem. He wasn't an orphan, but he was raised, Ke'ilu, he was an orphan. So Asher HaKadosh says, and yet he turned out to be Rosh HaNevi'im, the father and the Rebbe of Nevi'im, Shmuel HaNavi. He says, because Harbi Schus Oyser, Vaharbi Tfil Oyser, Asher HaKadosh says, how could you compare little Shmuel to Chafni and Pinchas? Shmuel was an Oyske Beit Neid. That's what he says. Shmuel had a mother, Chana, but even though she was far away, physically she was far away, she didn't stop davening for him. She didn't stop davening. And I hope you don't stop saying the Tfilas of Chana when you light candles on Friday. She didn't stop davening. So what Asher HaKadosh, the point he makes is as follows. Putting it into modern terms, even today, I was basically in a certain Indian where there was a parent, where there were parents that were very, very tzibrochen about their kid not being accepted to a certain yeshiva that they wanted the kid to be accepted in for next year. Because these inyanim are going around already for next September. And these parents are very, very, very tzibrochen. And they were pulling all of the strings that they could to get this kid into that yeshiva. And they called up this Shashiva and this Rav, and they called, I was also on their list, and they called up and they tried and they made it, and you know, also in other ways to try to help the Yeshiva understand that the Jews have a tradition. And they tried everything they could. And the Yeshiva said, we simply cannot, for whatever reason, agree or not agree. It's not important for now. But the yeshiva is not taking the job. And they are beyond devastated. So I was trying to talk to them about other fine yeshivas in their neighborhood. It's not from here. But there are other fine yeshivas where they live. And I mentioned a few of the yeshivas that I know, I heard of, that they're good, supposed to be very nice yeshivas. No, but his friends, and b'chule, b'chule. Right? Davke, this yeshiva, if not this yeshiva, ready to say Shiva Chas Hashem. So the Alshon HaKadosh is saying, you know what's interesting? Little Shmuel did not have a typical yeshivish upbringing. And he didn't even have his father to learn with him b'chavrusa. So how did he come out to be such a tzaddik? So Alshon HaKadosh says, because Alnara is a hespalalti, because of his mother's tefillas. Because of the mother's tefillas, before he came to the world to bring his neshama into the world, she davened like crazy. And then once he came to the world, she never stopped davening for him, even though she was far away. And Asher HaKadosh says that the tefillas, the tears of parents, can repoil infinitely more than the education that they get. So those parents might have tried everything. And I thought it was Bashir, because I was just thinking this afternoon of what I want, that I wanted to talk to you about this. And I had this conversation with the parents. So I asked them, I said, could I ask you something? There's one powerful weapon. I don't know if you really tried this. And I said to them something that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh once said to parents. I said that you tried as a skula from the Baal Shem Tov. You know what means a skula? How do you say a skula? Special, powerful schooler. I don't know. His school's in Baal Shem Tov. He once told two parents that were having difficulties, The school of the Baal Shem Tov, he said to the parents that every single night, before you go to sleep, you should wash your faces. So I asked these people, did you ever try this? The school of the Baal Shem Tov, that when you're having an inyan with a kid, before you go to sleep, the father and mother should wash their faces. So the mother said, Rabbi, what are you talking about? I said, it's the school of the Baal Shem Tov. She said, no, I don't know, we wash whatever, I take a shower, I didn't wash my. So I said, you have the same question that the parents had in the story of the Baal Shem Tov. Because they came back after 2 weeks and they said, we don't see any change in our son. So Baal Shem Tov said, did you, as I told you, do you wash? They said, yes, every single night before we go to sleep, we take from the, they didn't have running water, but we take from the pail and we wash. The Baal Shem Tov goes, you know what he said to them? What did he say, Chavon? The tears, I wasn't talking about the water from the pail. I was talking about with your tears. I said to these parents, did you wash your faces with your tears? That could be poil for your kid in whatever yeshiva is, and because Shmuel HaNavi wasn't in any yeshiva. 900 Jews that never went, never stepped foot into a yeshiva, and the holy and pure. And I see other kids that they're in the finest yeshivas, and gotten this as I get. It's not so good. It didn't work out. Like Chafni and Pinchas didn't work out in the yeshiva. Didn't work out. We don't know why Eli with his wife. I don't know. Dashiach doesn't talk about that. All Dashiach Kadir saying is, says, "Harbe schus oisa v'harbe tfilo oisa." Parents give up because it's not the yeshiva, it's not the shadchan, it's not this, it's not that. What's going to be with my child? And Dashiach Kadir is saying that we learn from the story of Chana and Shmuel, that the ikker koach that a parent has, even stronger than chinuch, even stronger than chinuch is a big thing, education. It's a huge thing to teach. But even stronger, he says, than chinuch, which oftentimes will not work for the child. There are many, many children that we're educating who are not turning out to be Jews that believe in Hashem and the Shem Torah Mitzvahs. Many of the Jews who we're trying to educate are not turning out to be Jews that keep Torah Mitzvahs. And Dashiach HaKadosh says, because there's something that could be that they're not, that they tried everything. They tried rabbi this, they tried rabbi that. They called the rabbis and they tried to give a donation to the yeshiva. They tried everything, but it could be they didn't wash their faces before they went to sleep. They didn't wash their faces. There's a story that I saw. There was a rabbis in Kupshitz in Yerushalayim, speak to Dekas. Not only is she a big tzaddikus and her husband was a big tzaddik, but their sons were huge talmidei chachamim. Unbelievably poor. I was once in their apartment. Unbelievably poor people. And women used to go, groups of women, this is before, you know, it became like a big thing, but years ago, small groups of women used to go visit this tzaddikus, this Rebbe in Kupshitz. They used to go visit him. And I saw in the sefer that there was a group of women that were there with her, and they asked her, "How are you zochet to have such children? What's your magic formula? What did you do to have such children?" So the answer that it says in the sefer is she told them, these women asked, and her answer was, "Mipnei shiratziti," because I wanted them. That's what she said. I wanted them. So one lady says, "Ani gam rotza. I also want to have such children." What do you mean, "Nei shiratziti"? "Anachnu gam rotzot. We also want to have children like yours." So she said the following. I'll read it to you. She said, "Aten rotzot gam. You also want to have children like this." Because the lady said, "Anachnu gam rotzot," and she said, the rabbi said, "Aten rotzot gam, gam parnasa, gam briut. You also, in other words, it's on your list. You also want parnasa. You also want health. You also want oisha v'kovid, all the other good things. V'gam yiladim tovim. And on your list of v'gam." There's a vegan, yeladim tovim. Like you said, anachlu gam rotzot. Atam gam rotzot yeladim tovim. Ani lo ratziti klum ba'olam. You hear? This Rebbetzin said, I didn't want anything else in the world. Milvad liskois lebanim tovim. Milvad liskot lebanim tovim. Just to have good children. Hiskamti levater ala kol. And you should have seen how they lived. Hiskamti levater ala kol. I agreed to give up everything else in my life. Rak she'eske b'matana tova zu. Just that I should be zeicher for this gift. That the children should be good. Elanara ze hispalalti. There are so many single mothers. And I try to give chizik. I have my daughters a single mother. One of my daughters. And I try to give chizik to these amazing women, these heroic women. Either because they were divorced, or because lo aleinu now, they have these single mothers. A whole bunch of them. A whole bunch of new single mothers, because they're almanis, they're widows, Hashem yirachem. So I try to test, so they feel, the single mother feels like, how am I going to do this? How am I possibly going to do this? You know, by myself. It's hard enough to raise children when you have a healthy, normal marriage, a good house, it's intact. How am I going to do this by myself? How? So what we're talking about now, Erev Shavuos, Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the Yartzeit of Elanara Zehes Palalti. And what I try to tell these unbelievable women is, Lid Chazek. The way that Chana felt when she realized that Elkanah was not there for her, he was in his own world, and she said, Ein li'af echad. I have nobody. It's just me and you. I've seen very, very beautiful children come out from these mothers. Amazing, amazing children that are raised by these mothers. Amazing children. Even some of these mothers who to begin with were not big daveners, but when they realize, Ein li'al mi li'sha'ein, ela ala vi'sha v'shamayim, who am I going? I don't have a husband that I can rely on anymore. I don't have anybody that I could depend on. So then, Elhanara is a Hespalalti. I once mentioned to you a story that I saw about a woman, it doesn't say her name, but she raised a family by herself in Tel Aviv in the late 1950s and the early 1960s. She raised a family in Tel Aviv. It sounded like she was an almana, but I'm not sure. And she didn't have any quality time to spend with the kids because she was working day and night. There was no time. On Shabbos, she was exhausted. I mean, I just saw they worked on Friday, part of the day she had to work, and Sunday the whole day, and she didn't have time to spend with the kids. And the kids turned out to be unbelievable. The Valdiga kids, Tzadikim, Tanecham, Tzadkanias, came out to be the best kids. And again, the same question. Somebody asked her, Mahasol Shalach Bechinuch, what's your secret in how you educated the kids? When do you even have the time or the energy to talk to the Bechlam? And it says in the Sefer, Sod Shali B'chinuch, my secret of chinuch is She'ein chinuch. I didn't teach them anything. She'ein chinuch. Ella, Tarti V'sakaros B'layla. I made my pillow wet at night. That's what she says. When I would come home exhausted after a day working, the kids were sleeping. She said, I didn't even see them. Because they would go to bed, the oldest one put to bed the little ones. And then he would also be in bed, and I would come home after working like this, and I would go to bed and I would cry. It's not chinuch. It wasn't chinuch. Socially b'chinuch, she'ein chinuch, elatarte v'sakaros b'layla. So let's finish up. A couple of years ago, before this thing started, the whole Indian of this COVID. So we used to have a seder with the guys. It was Chaval, because my wife and Suri, my daughter, were just about to, they were planning the first trip to go with some women. They were going to go to to Uman and to Mezvus and to Badish. So the Mirsham, that'll be this coming year. Everybody should be healthy and well.
Amen.
It'll be a beautiful trip for the women. So the guys, we've been going, you know, a couple of times. We were zeichet to go to Poland. When I said zeichet to go to Poland, Poland's a miserable, disgusting place. But the tzaddikim were there. I don't mean the Poland, you understand?
Yeah.
The kivrei tzaddikim. The rest of them could. To the tzaddikim, to the kivrei tzaddikim. In Russia and Poland. And then the last trip we went was to Hungary, to Abshayla, another tzaddikim. And but the rule of our trips that I set from the first trip was that we don't end our trip in Poland and Hungary, we don't end our trip in Russia, we end our trip in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. We're not ending in that place. We're ending in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, it's always the most exciting thing when we come out, we come back from the trip, and we come to Eretz Yisrael. Ay, here's the other thing. So, we miss all of you, but Ezi Yofi, to come to Eretz Yisrael, especially after being in all those places. And we always take a day off. Usually it's the last day. This is how it works out logistically. And we go up north. And we always make a point of it when we go up north, of course. There's special, special places. There's such tzaddikim over there. And there's special places. So many special places, but we have limited time. But we always go, of course, to Rabbi Shimon, to Meron. Mm-hmm. And we always go to Tveria, to the kever of the Shlach HaKadosh. It was buried in Tveria, you know, the Rambam, the Shlach HaKadosh, Rabbi Akiva, and the Ramchal. It's a beautiful place. And when you go a little bit down the road into the area, then you have the Chalukah, you have the other cemetery, you have a little Talmidei Baal Shem buried there. But in that cemetery in Tveria. So a few years ago, we were all exhausted, and we're driving from Meron, from Rabbi Shimon, to the Shlach HaKadosh. And I was talking to the chaver a little bit on the bus, and I mentioned that it's fascinating how we call Rabbi Shimon, especially in the song that we sing on Lag BaOmer and the Sfaradim, even every Friday night they sing, the piyut of Bar Yochai, M'shachta Ashvach, Bar Yochai. It's odd that we call him Bar Yochai. It's not really a bekovedik way to call a Jew. All of his chaverim were called Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yossi. It's a funny thing. When I was growing up, until 10th grade, all of my rebbeim called us by our last name. They didn't call us by our first name. In 10th grade, for the first time, we had a rebbe. I remember it was amazing. It was the first day of class. And he was this Rebbe was a very, very big tzaddik, a sweet, he was a stalwart chassid. He died just a few years ago, an old man, a tzaddik. And we used to, they would say Weinberger and Goldberg, and, you know, just by, and the whole year they called you by your last name. So he opened up the little bichel, the book with the names, and he said whatever. First he said Weinberger, the alphabetical, I was always last, but the name, whatever, the first name, he says, And he said, here, the kid said, here, and he said, and the Rebbe said, what do your parents call you? He said, what? What do your parents, say? What's your name? He spoke this in Ivrit. He said, what, Erkir Melacha. So he was the first Rebbe that called us by our first names. First Rebbe. It sounds strange nowadays, right? It was the first Rebbe in 10th grade. It's the first Rebbe. We were called also a lot of other things by the Rebbe, but always the last name with other stuff. But he was the first one to call us to say Moshe, to call by the first name. So Bar Yochai, it's like a last name, you know? It's strange, Bar Yochai. Sometimes he's called Ben Yochai, Bar Yochai, Ben Yochai. So tzaddikim say, because it was understood and it was clear to the generation and for all future generations that such a Jew like Rabbi Shimon could not come into the world unless he had parents It's also about his mother. There's no time for that. So I told her once many years ago by my Lag Baimer, by the Hilula. There's no way. So they always called him Ben Yochai after his father, which really means after his parents. They called him after his parents, Ben Yochai. And it's interesting. The Minchas Elazar points out that we find Bechlal in the Gemara, we find that the women, when they would daven for children, they would daven Yehi Ratzon Shiyeh K'Rabbi Shimon. The Jewish women used to daven Yehi Ratzon, that my son should be like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, K'Rabbi Shimon. And the Minchas Elazar points out that we find that in the Gemara, there are times that he's called Rabbi Shimon. Many times he's called Rabbi Shimon. And there are other times that he's called Bar Yochai or Ben Yochai. Right? So the Minchas Elazar pointed out that with just very few exceptions, wherever he is called Rabbi Shimon, we don't paskin like him. Wherever he's called Bar Yochai, Ben Yochai, the halacha is like him. And that's it, in that halacha. And the Minchas Elazar is saying in the schus of his parents that they daven to bring down such a neshama. That whenever he's called Bar Yochai, the halach is kamaisa, the halach is like him. Whenever he's called Rabbi Shimon, we don't pass him like him. We pass like the one who was arguing with him. Because of his parents, tefillas. And that's why in the piyut that we say Bar Yochai, we say Nimshach Nechra, we say Bar Yochai, Ashrei Yoladetecha. Fortunate is the mother who gave birth to you. Fortunate is the mother. I was Zaych Baruch Hashem to do an up Sharon the other day. And his parents brought me a little boy. His name is Shimon. And the little boy Shimon was born on Lag Baimer. And they're taking him to the cell. They had a problem with the Yeshua. I don't know what's going on. But they go. It's called Shimon. And the women would all daven. Yehi Ratzon that she bring us down in the Shaman. And if you have a son, we're going to call him Shimon. So I think you all understand what I'm trying to, the point that I'm trying to get across is that the most powerful thing that we could do, to bring new neshamas into the world, neshamas and chadetin, we had 45 Jews that were taken from us in such a terrible way by Rabbi Shimon. It hurts too much to talk about. 45 Jews. Our avoid is to daven, to bring more and more and more Jews into the world. More Jews, new neshamas, to finish up already so Mashiach can come, because there are neshamas that are waiting to come. And all of us should daven for each other and for all of the women that haven't had children yet, to daven strong, that they should have good, holy, and kosher Jewish children, for all of the women who have children. Whatever anybody tells you, statistics, or this yeshiva, that yeshiva, or this shadchan, or that shadchan, to whatever they tell you, remember what Chana taught us and what the Ashur HaKadosh says. There's nobody that's stronger than a Jewish mother. Nobody. I'm not saying this to give you some kind of compliment. That's not my inyan. It's to tell you the truth. That people don't talk about this enough. They don't think about this enough. They don't use this koyach of a mother, or the tefillas of a mother. You all remember the story that they say that, you know, when the Gedolei Hador used to live in Yeruah, that I was able to see many times, is Moshe Sternbuch. You probably heard of him. In Yerushalayim. He was from England, then he was in South Africa, in Johannesburg for many years, and then years ago he moved there to Israel, and he's now the head of the Besdin in Yerushalayim, the Moshe Sternbuch. So he was as a young man, he was known as the biggest genius. He was a very, very big, elish, sharp head. And there's a famous story that there were, when he was learning in yeshiva, a bunch of the top bach in Yerushalayim were given an audience to come talk in learning with the famous Shabina Rav. Reb Dov Barish Weidenfeld, who was the Gadol Hador, the Shabina Rav, the talk in learning. And these smart guys came in, and Moshe Sternbuch was among them, and the Shabina Rav asked a question. And the bachim were looking, and Moshe Sternbuch was a young man, wasn't married yet. He said on the spot, like a nuclear bomb of an answer, like an unbelievable answer to the Shabina Rav. And the Shabina Rav said, "That's not your answer. That's not your teretz." And Moshe Sternbuch said, "Rabbi, I promise I didn't It's mine. I didn't see it in any safe. I thought of it when you asked the question. I didn't see it anywhere. He said, no, it's not true. It's not your answer. So he said, he was just quiet. He didn't know what to say. He said, that's your mother's davening by the Shabbos candles. Mm-hmm. That you were able to say such a thing. That's from your mother's tefillahs. That's not your answer. That's your mother's answer. That's not your answer. That's the big weapon that's underrated and underemployed and used. So I want to end with a poem. You know how I love the poems of this Ruth Lewis. I'm crazy about the poems that she writes. And my wife and I were at the Shabbos table, and it was a yontiv. They're putting them together. I know I've been saying this a while, but I've been told that they're putting these together. There's much more, and there's one book that you can't get, Memo to Self, and then there's another collection that hasn't been published yet. I have it, but it's all going to be, they're putting it together, and there's more stuff too. And I've told you many times, she was a Baal Shua that was from Baltimore, and then she ended up being a Breslover Chassidus to live in Meshar. And she writes these poems about us, about our lives. Because she was one of us. Not like you're reading a poem from somebody that's, some Shakespearean poet sitting looking over the Thames River in London. This is one of our chaver. She wrote this. Listen. This is what we're davening for. Your children shall be like olive saplings round about your table. That's Tillim. Right? That your children should be like olives, that are saplings, like little olive trees. Around your table. You should have a table surrounded by kids' olive saplings. So the poem is, that's how it begins. And then she says, Friday night, our oldest sapling argues loud as he is able with sapling two across the Shabbos table. Sapling three is fooling with her hair. Sapling four keeps tipping back her chair. Darling little sapling five is being too obnoxious to describe. Sapling six again needs his laces tied as the youngest tender sapling climbs upon his mother's lap and she rocks him on her knees. She thinks, one day they'll all be tall trees, proud and fruitful, strong and able, with many saplings round their table. At times with all those sapling trees crowding round about her knees, she loses sight of what will be. But at other times she sees majestic forests destined to spring forth from these and these. So, dear bracha to all of you. That you should be zeich, we should all be zeich to have these saplings grow into healthy and strong trees. And that those who don't have should have b'shatar u'mutzlach. That these trees should grow into majestic forests and more trees and more trees and more trees. For every inch of Yerushalayim. Every inch of Eretz Yisrael will be covered with these saplings, with these trees. And we should be zeichet. You see it, and should be maybe a minute. Amen.